What an exciting way to start 2018 with a sermon series called Multiply. I'm so excited to see how God will continue to work in our English congregation this year. Like Pastor Wilbur was saying earlier, we started this English ministry in July last year, and our congregation has been growing and it's been steady in numbers since then. We're very thankful to God for bringing us a lot of new wonderful friends and families to our church, both to the Cantonese and to our English congregation. But we have to also thank some of you for working very hard in making babies in 2017. Now, in 2018, keep making those babies. We need them. Multiply. Speaking of babies, our little baby at home, Megan, she's 13 years old, by the way, over the Christmas, out of nowhere, point blank, asked us if she can have a baby brother. I told her, we have done our share in contributing to the population of this great country, and we are done with making babies in our family. I would literally have a heart attack if my wife one day told me, we're going to have a baby. The funny thing is, Megan has been asking for a dog for a long time, and we keep saying no to her. So maybe she figured that asking for a baby brother might be a little bit easier than asking for a dog. I don't know. I don't know her line of thinking here. Speaking of babies, Pastor Wilbur gave us a wonderful first sermon on spiritual babies last week. He laid out the four different stages in the growth of a disciple. Spiritual babies is the first stage of the discipleship process. Let's recap what do we mean by a disciple. A disciple is a Christ follower who grows in Christ-likeness and produces Christ-like disciples. A disciple is a Christ follower who grows in Christ-likeness and produces Christ-like disciples. Pastor Wilbur last week told us that one of the most important things for a spiritual baby to grow is feed on the spiritual food by establishing a strong foundation on the Word of God by reading and studying the Bible every day. He gave us a couple of very practical tips on how to do this last week, and I hope you have a chance to put it into practice this week. This morning, we are going to talk about the next stage of the growth of a Christian, the spiritual child. We will cover the characteristics and the needs of a child. And more importantly, what does it take to grow into the next stage, from being a child to an adult? So let's get right into it. So what is the characteristics of a spiritual child? Spiritual children have some basic understanding of faith. They have developed a stable devotional life. They read the Bible regularly. They're growing in the relationship with God. They attend church regularly. They start to develop friendship and learn from other more mature and experienced Christians, just as they would with their older siblings at home. They're starting to pray. They accumulate knowledge of faith waiting to be tested in the real world. Just like children, this is a critical stage where we expect to see a lot of growth. Now, perhaps you are in this stage right now. You are a new believer, and you're excited about your new life in Christ. You're excited about all the new things you're learning in the Bible, and you're learning how to talk and listen to God through your prayers. But you want more, and wonder what you can do to grow beyond a spiritual child. On the other hand, there are also a lot of people who have been Christian for many, many years who have been in limbo in this child stage for a very, very long time and have not moved on to the next stage. They settle in their comfort zone and they stop growing. They became stuck. They have settled into a good church. They're enjoying the good worship and sermon every Sunday. They're being fed to them. They come to church essentially as a consumer. They enjoy the social circle of having a group of friends that can have dim sum after worship. They enjoy getting all the latest tips on where you can get the greatest food at the best price here in Richmond. Essentially, the church becomes their playground for these Christian children. They become unaware of the needs for growth and stay in this stage for the rest of the Christian life. Essentially, their faith has no impact on their life. Do you know of any Christians that live their life that way? Perhaps you are a Christian and you have also settled down into this comfort zone and you don't see or think how your life as a Christian would have any impact on your life at all and how you live. But the Bible tells us differently. One of the authors in the Old Testament, Paul, has written extensively on the subject of growth of a Christian. Paul, in a letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus in the first century, gave us a very good reminder, and I particularly like the very lively translation and the message of what we as Christians are being called to do. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. What Paul is saying to us is stop being a baby. Stop being a child. Grow up. You, as a spiritual child, needs to continue to grow. God wants us to grow up and to be like Christ in everything. And we are to take the lead from Christ himself. So what are the spiritual child needs is to apply biblical knowledge to daily life rather than just constant accumulation of knowledge. They can be the greatest theologian and Bible scholar, but if their life has not changed at all, their life as Christians is futile. They got to learn to let the word challenge their living and let their living challenge and refine their understanding of the word. In other words, the spiritual child is a disciple who has begun the process of life transformation to Christ's likeness. The spiritual child is a disciple who has begun the process of life transformation to Christ's likeness. What spiritual children need at this stage is to grow to become a spiritual adult, is to experience life transformation. Not just any transformation, but one that models after Jesus himself. We are called to keep changing until we are like Christ. Let me ask you a question. If life transformation is so critical to the growth of a spiritual child to an adult, how do we go about this life transformation? How do we wrap our mind around this life transformation? The world has multiple sources of advice on how to live and how to be a mature person. You can ask some very smart people, like the U.S. president, reading his tweets. He has a lot of wisdom to offer on things what not to do. You can turn to Google, TED Talks, Reddit, Instagram, Facebook to find opinions how people should live their life today. There are tons of self-help gurus, bloggers, inspiration speakers, and psychologists. We give you all sorts of tips and ideas. But as Christians, we have the Bible that is the inspired word of God that is full of wisdom on how to live and mature. I mentioned about Paul earlier, and we will continue to read from the letter of Ephesians that was written 2,000 years ago for some incredible insights, just some incredible insights on how a spiritual child can grow and mature and to how to truly transform. You see, what I find the most incredible thing about Paul is that Paul himself has gone through some amazing transformation himself. He used to hate Christians You know, he hates Christians so much that he spent most of his time thinking about how to exterminate Christians. He is the Terminator. He wants to wipe out all the Christians from the surface of the earth forever. But instead, he became one of those gigantic figures who have shaped the history of the world as an apostle and a theologian. His writings and teachings has forever changed the history of the world. So if there's anybody who knows a thing or two about life transformation, Paul would be the guy. So let's listen what he has to say. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord. So what Paul is saying, listen up, guys. I'm saying something really important, and my authority is coming from the Lord. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles or non-believers do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. Wow. Here Paul gave us a very vivid description of our problems before we become Christians. Our old minds were futile and darkened in understanding and lack clarity. Our hearts were hardened against the ways of God. Our sense of reality was distorted. Our heart keep chasing after every kind of greed, impurity, and sensuality. And Paul urges us not to fall back in the patterns of thinking and behavior of our former life as non-believers. We must abandon our previous lifestyle because we don't have excuse anymore. We have known Christ. Listen to Paul in verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. Then in verse 22, Paul gave us a metaphor to solve the problem we all face. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here, Paul is using the metaphor of a piece of clothing to illustrate his points. What Paul is saying is that treat your old self as a piece of dirty old laundry. Take it off. It is oversized, it's dirty, it's full of big holes, it does not suit you anymore. You got to put on a brand new piece of clothing that is tailor-made, that suits you better than a three-piece Armani suit. A new piece of clothing that's made after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul here did not simply tell us to do this and don't do that. In verse 23, Paul told us that our mind must also be renewed. Our mind must also be renewed because the mind is the inner core of who we are. We cannot simply try to act differently on the outside because that would just make us nothing more than a hypocrite. Real transformation only occurs from the inside out. If there is no renewal of the mind, then there cannot be a new self. In other words, the new self with Christ-likeness can never be put on until we change our way of thinking. We need to take our corrupted minds and renew it to model the thinking of Jesus. That is why Pastor Wilbur last week said it's so important to anchor onto the Word of God. And as we begin to do this each day, our lives will change. Our actions will change. Our words will change. Our relationship will change. Essentially, transformation of the mind will lead to transformation of your life. Now, to put this into context, in order for the spiritual child in us to grow, we need to change our thinking or mindset. We must stop clinging to the idea of staying as a spiritual child. Oftentimes, changing our mindset is being left out in life transformation. That leads us to our repeated failure to grow beyond a spiritual child. We've got to change our mind to be transformed to an adult. Now, later in chapter 4, Paul, being a great teacher as he is, gave us some specific examples on what is it like to put off the new self and put on the new self. As we go through these examples, I want us to remember that these changes are not simply a behavioral change on the outside. It comes from a renewal of the mind. Verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, giving one another as God in Christ forgave you. According to Paul, life transformation is radical and deliberate and intentional. Put off your old self. If you used to swear, don't swear anymore. Put on your new self. Always say something that lifts others up and make what you say to become a blessing. Put off your old self, Paul tells us. If you used to be angry with your husband when you guys have a fight for days, don't do that anymore. Put on your new self. Reconcile before you brush your teeth at night. Tell him how sorry you are and you are going to wash all the dishes for the rest of the week, even though the reason you get mad at him is because he never washed the dishes. Isn't that radical? Put off your old self. You used to not care about how God feels. You have been doing all the things that would break his heart. Stop doing that. Put on your new self. Learn about Jesus. Learn to love the Father as Jesus loves him. Develop the same obedience as Jesus does. Put off your old self. Get rid of it. If you used to steal money from your boss or your parents, don't do that anymore. Put on your new self. Work hard. Work hard and give generously to those in need. Paul is saying that even a thief can transform it into a generous giver. Can it get more radical than that? What Paul is telling us is that it's not enough just to be a sin evader. It's not enough just to avoid sins. Be nothing like what you are used to be. We're not trying to be a nicer version of our old self. We've got to get rid of our old self completely. We are to take on the inner being of Christ himself. Now, That is a lot of information. So let me try to wrap it up together with an example. Let me try to illustrate this to you as a dentist. Let's say you have a cavity in your tooth. It's rotten, it's brown, it's black, and it looks like you got some seaweed stuck between your teeth after eating sushi. You went to see your favorite dentist, your beloved dentist. And your dentist confirmed that, yes, there is a cavity. And his suggestion is, just fill it. Just fill it. That's right. You can leave all the yucky stuff, all the bacteria in there, and just put a filling over it and be done with it. Oh, come on. Now, even you know better that that wouldn't work, right? That new filling would just fall right out the moment you bit into your favorite ramen. Before a tooth can be properly restored, you have to remove all the rotten stuff and bacteria, all the demineralized enamel and dentin. Got to be cleaned out completely before there's any room for the filling, the good stuff. But it does not end there. The most important part is this. You got to change your mind. You got to change your mind that your teeth are important. If you don't do that, you will continue to ignore them by not brushing and flossing and continue to eat all the candies you get your hands on, and sooner or later, that same tooth will get a cavity again, at this time just bigger. Or worse, your other teeth will get cavity as well. And the same problems will come back over and over and over again until your mind is changed to value the importance of healthy teeth. Now, don't blame me if you don't get a cavity next time. I warned you already. Now, Paul says, put off the new old self, renew your thinking, and put on the new self. This is the process we need to put into practice if you want life transformation. Okay, now that we know what to do and we intend to make these life transformation, what are some of the means that can help us to grow from a child to an adult? How can we put ourselves in an environment where life transformation is being nurtured? I can think of at least two things you can do. Number one, join a small group. Small groups here in Koinonia is called Oikos. Koinonia, from day one, has always been a church that have a very strong focus on small group ministry. I have been involved in small groups since I became a Christian more than 20 years ago. Over the years, I've attended and led different types of small groups and fellowships. And let me tell you this, I never witnessed and experienced so much life transformation in a small group setting. And I think that it's mainly because of our emphasis on life transformation here at Koinonia. And our Oikos core values reflect that emphasis on life transformation. To grow, to share, to pray, to multiply. Every Friday, we meet for 2 hours and we practice these four core values to effect life transformation. Perhaps you have an old perception of what small group or fellowship is like in your previous church. And because of that, you don't really expect much from your small group. Well, listen to Paul. Renew your mind. Change your thinking. Embrace each meeting as the opportunity to transform your life. If you're already part of an Oikos group, treasure it. Don't miss any meeting. Make each meeting count. Life transformation takes time and is slow, but for sure, if you show up to your Oikos week after week, I can guarantee you, you will experience life transformation that you never thought ever possible. And more importantly, as you actively participate in your small group, you will also experience life transformation of others. And guess what? Your life transformation will be contagious, and it will affect the people around you. I've been involved in iCause for 9 years now, and over the years, I've seen so much life transformation. I witnessed someone who does not know what to do with his life anymore, to a point where he doesn't even want to live anymore. A year later, after a year of attending iCause week after week, the same person would recount all the blessings and thanksgiving because he realized that God wants him to continue to live with a purpose every day. I witnessed change in relationship between a couple who was on the verge of getting a divorce. They were literally fight within the meeting, okay? It's how bad it is. But guess what? Their marriage was renewed because the husband's life was transformed once he experienced the love of Jesus and literally transformed in front of his wife. I also witnessed someone who said he is a lazy Christian. Okay, I don't know if there's such a thing as lazy Christian, but that's what she said. I'm a lazy Christian. And she's only going to iCost to audit. Okay, it's like auditing a university class. She's not going to share. She is not going to pray. She is just going to audit. By the end of the year, we can't shut her up. And that was a good thing because what she says and shares blesses so many lives in our group that year. It is unbelievable. It was unbelievable. When we ask her, what makes you change? What makes you change? We want to know. You know what she said? It was because I see how Christ changes and transforms all of you. How can I not change? How can I not transform? Life transformation is contagious and is made possible with the transforming power of Christ in our lives. This coming year in iCause, I will be leading a new group with 16 new members, and I cannot even begin to tell you how excited I am to witness and to listen to more transformation stories. And now, I get you all fired up and excited, and I want you to, and you want to know how to join iCause. Here's how you can sign up for a small group. Go to kpost.ca, and when you sign up, this is what you will see. Registration is now full. What? Are you kidding me? No, this is not a joke. There's no vacancy at this point in iCost. Huh? So why don't you talk me up in joining small group? Well, first of all, if you are between grade 10 and 12 somewhere in here, you're in luck. There's no quota yet. You can join. Talk to these guys here, okay, in the front, and they can tell you why they go to Acts Fellowship. I'm sure the occasional bubble tea excursion is part of the attraction, but I heard there are also movies as well just minutes ago, and there's going to be popcorn and drinks. Even I want to join you guys, but I can't. Anyway, if you're in grade 10 to 12, join Acts Fellowship. Talk to Gabriel and Ava, and they'll be excited to sign you up. Okay, Alec, what if I'm older than grade 12? What can I do? I really want to join. What can I do? Well, I just learned that there is a waiting list. So you can get on the waiting list at least. And spam one email to Pastor Joshua and Pastor Wilbur every day and tell them, I want iCause, I want iCause, I want iCause. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If you do that, I'm sure you will stay at the bottom of the list till eternity, okay? We're not children anymore, remember? We won't act like children. What do? We will pray. We will pray for our future small group. We'll pray for our small group ministry. We'll pray to God to prepare English small group ministry. We'll pray to God to prepare our heart and mind so that when the time comes, we are ready to join. We'll pray to God to give us leaders that will head the small group ministry. We'll pray that some of you will grow into becoming a leader one day. And Pastor Wilbur and Haynes, in the next 2 weeks, will give us more teaching and insights into this next stage of growth. Now, after Oikos, the second thing you can do is consider joining a ministry team. Koinonia now has 13 ministry teams serving every Sunday morning. Pray about what gifts you have and consider joining one of these 13 ministry teams. There's nothing better and more blessed to serve with other like-minded disciples, to learn from one another, to witness each other's dedication and transformation through service. In the last 6 months, I have the privilege to serve all of you right here on the pulpit. The preparation of each sermon has not been easy, and I struggle through the whole process every single time. But at the same time, I have a chance to work and learn from the pastoral team, and this serving experience has been transformational and has been such a great blessing. I may appear to be the same on the outside, but I know God is slowly transforming me on the inside through my serving. I'm asking you to serve this morning, not because we do not have enough servants. Yes, we actually do not have enough servants in almost every single team, especially in tech team, where we are at a critical shortage of servants. But the main reason for calling you to serve is for your benefits. And that is out of love for you to grow. That is why the pastoral team has always been asking all of us to serve in a ministry team, because they want you to experience life transformation through service. Serving in a ministry team helps us to take up the posture of Jesus, the same Jesus who knelt down to wash his disciples' feet. Serving helps us to get into the mind of Jesus and humble ourselves and know all the things that are made possible is the work of God. Every Sunday is a miracle. The stage I'm standing on and the fact that you can listen to me right now is not a random event. It is intentional because many brothers and sisters and their families gave up their old self, put on the new self to make all these happen. Their mind is renewed to know the importance of supporting the church with their service because this is how the body of Christ is being built. Okay, sign me up. I'm in. How do I join a ministry team? Go to kpost.ca as well, and this time there's a real link where you can actually sign up. You can fill out all your names, information, phone number, email, and then on page 2, you will see a list of teams that you can join. So pray about this, and consider joining a team. So here we are in January 2018. Let me ask you a question to wrap this up. Have you ever thought about what you would be like in December? I know this whole New Year resolution thing is so lame and cliche, but what if this year real transformation is going to take place in your life? then it won't be cliche anymore. Perhaps you still have no intention of changing your lives in such a radical way that Paul talked about. Perhaps you've been attending church every week the last 20 years. But when you look at your life, you are still hanging on to your old self. You still hang on to your old ways of living and thinking. You may look like an adult on the outside, but deep inside your core, you are still living as a spiritual child. But if you are a Christian, you are on the hook to transform. You don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Continue to grow is our core as a Christian. By human nature, we don't want to be changed. We don't want to be transformed. Change is hard. Change is scary. Change is uncomfortable, but necessary for a Christian. It takes effort and intention to be transformed. So here's my question to you. Do you want to make that choice? Do you want to grow? Is your mind ready to move on to the next stage? Are you ready to commit this year in 2018 to get rid of your old self and wear the new self that is modeled after Jesus? No more lame excuse. No more cliche. Life transformation takes time, so we better start now. Start with renewing your mind. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Father, please soften our heart. Soften those calluses in our heart that has been so resistant to you. Get us out of our childish mindset. We are Christians. We are your disciple. We are supposed to be like you, Lord. May your Spirit continue to renew our mind. We are incapable of making these changes, so we ask that the Holy Spirit to have a strong presence within us. Renew us every day, so we will more like you, Christ. And we are asking all these in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.